Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome, and thank you for listening in. All right, we're on take two here. I want to welcome you all for coming in and listening in on this rare Wednesday night, but we seem to have had technical issues with Blog Talk Radio on Monday, but hopefully, keeping our fingers crossed, it won't happen tonight, because I have back with me Deborah A. Bailey. Deb, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I am too. I'm thrilled because she has out her newest book, Hathor Legacy Revelations, which is book three of her Hathor Legacy series. And if you haven't heard Hathor Legacy Burn or Hathor Legacy Outcast, which is books one and two, you can go back to Blog Talk Radio and you can do a search for her and you can find those books and you can listen to those podcasts, or you can go to her website, and her website is, I'm sitting here looking at dbaileycoach.com/brightbooks. Or you can just go to brightstreetbooks.com and you'll find her website, and it has all her books there. But I'm thrilled to have her tonight. And if you want to talk to her after the show is over, that's assuming we couldn't go all 30 minutes tonight with this show, you're welcome to call in. The number is 646-727-2932. Or if you've got a question, I have the chat room open. You can drop your question there, or you can email it to me, linda@lindamooney.com. And those of you who don't know Deborah, she is a science fiction and paranormal romance novelist that likes to include suspense, a bit of mystery, and a lot of romantic heat. Her books include the Hathor Legacy science fiction romance series and the Family Pride Shapeshifter paranormal romance series. So if you're into paranormal shapeshifters, you got to check that one out. Her short stories have won awards from Philadelphia Writers Conference and have been published in US One Magazine and The Sun, and are included in Electric Dreams, Seven Futuristic Tales. She's the author of three nonfiction books and articles for various online publications. And so now, Deborah, I'm going to come back to you, and I'm going to ask you right off the bat, will there be any more Hathor Legacies after this one?
Yes, there will. I'm already planning. I was going to stop here, but actually I already had the idea for another book with one of the supporting characters, Sergeant Tragg. Mm-hmm. So I have an idea for that. Yeah.
Oh, so happy dance. And the thing is, you're going to learn, and I had to learn the hard way that you can sit there and say, no, that's the end of it. There will be no more books. And it's like, you know, it's like God says, no, there will be. And he's sitting there laughing, going, hi, and she just thinks it's going to be the end of it all. Yeah.
Exactly. We're not in charge of something. So.
Yes. We think.
We think we are.
Yeah, we think we are. So, okay, I'm going to go ahead and just turn the floor over to you so you can tell us what this book three is about. You can give us the blurb. And then launch right on into your excerpt. So take it away, Deb.
And hi, everyone. And I'll say that Hathor Legacy Revelations continues the story I started in Outcast about the Guardians. And it features Nadira, who is one of the most powerful people in the Guardian organization. They all have different psi abilities, and they can read minds, or they can move matter, like with telekinesis. And they have different things that they have developed over time because they are on another planet, Hathor. Settlers from Earth moved there, and there was a terraforming release, some virus, so people develop these powers over time that was based on the virus that was released. So this mm-hmm. is a few generations later, and right now everyone is part of a security force for Hathor. So there is, let's say, some tension between the Guardians and the mm-hmm. people running the corporation. So I'll just quickly tell the blurb. An enemy returns to spark new tensions between the Guardians and NovaCorp. In the midst of the crisis, Nadira is given information about her parents, threatens to destroy her relationship to the Guardians and to her lover, Jonathan Keel. And while Nadira searches for answers, Jonathan is enticed into the hedonistic world of the NovaCorp executive class. His entertainment club attracts the elite of Hathor, but his notoriety comes with a price. And the worlds of the Guardians and NovaCorp are put on a collision course where only one side may come up, count on top. Nadira is called on to make the ultimate sacrifice to save the legacy of the First Families, the original settlers of Hathor, while Guardians, Cosima, and Deshtu Psi groups are faced with the choice to unite or be brought completely under NovaCorp control. Old scores are settled, and long hidden truths are revealed. And at the end, Nadira and Jonathan's relationship and their world will never be the same. So, yeah, there's kind of a wrap up of storyline, kind of where people wondering what happened to Nadira's parents, and you know, giving more mm-hmm. history and background how the Guardians were created. So, what I had to read. This evening were two scenes. I think I'd be able to get to the other one. But first off, there is a character who was a Guardian named Mikal, and he's in book two, if anybody has listening has read that one. He was kind of a bad guy, and he was given what they call a burn order, and that means kind of messing with your thinking. They give you like a drug to kind of, you know, make you kind of passive, and he was shipped off to a penal colony, but he escaped. So now it turns out that he escaped in a ship that Nadira's father was in when he was lost 20 years ago. And everybody figured, well, how is he finding this ship? And Nadira's wondering that herself because she was told her father was lost. So she went to visit him in the penal colony, even though she shouldn't have because he's a bad guy. So that's where this this first scene is going to be about. When Nadira got to the detention center, she braced herself for the emotional onslaught that would hit her when she went inside. That was the problem with coming to these places. She had to fight to keep the strong emotions of the detainees from bringing her to her knees. Her psi abilities were a blessing and a curse at times. It hadn't been difficult for Nadira to arrange for a private meeting with Mikal. The Guardian protectors on duty would have done anything she asked, especially since her friend Eleni was a senior protector at the detention center. Protectors by nature were not the type to back down when challenged. It made them perfect for their work with the detainees, but those same characteristics could turn deadly if they weren't controlled. A security officer led Nadira to a small room off the main corridor. It had one seat facing a wall of clear glass, a substance strong enough to withstand any attempts to break it. If it hadn't been for the reflection from the overhead lights, she wouldn't have known the glass was there. Back when she'd been assigned to protector duty for a short time, Nadira had witnessed a prisoner's attempt to crash through. He'd bounced off and hit the opposite wall with such force he'd knocked himself unconscious. She sat on the metal chair and waited. A couple of minutes later, the door on the other side of the glass opened. Mikal stood between two security officers. His eyebrows shot up in surprise when he saw her. Then he recovered and smiled spread across his thin lips. Shuffling due to the restraint on his legs, he entered the room and sat opposite her. The bulky guards remained in the doorway, their fingers gripping the thick webbing of their utility belts. "You saw my interview, didn't you?" he asked, his voice slightly muffled. "I think it went rather well." His light brown eyes were filled with mirth, hardly what you expected from a man locked up in detention. With his cropped brown hair, he could almost have passed for a security officer. Of course, security usually didn't have surgical procedures to enhance their looks or cover their skin in a pearlized coating. Under the light, he looked like his skin was glowing, literally. How'd you arrange that? You're an escaped criminal. And I'm a guardian. I was once Elder Dakar's assistant. I have a certain status, and I'm a celebrity now. The first person to successfully escape from a NovaCorp security penal colony. You're still an enemy of the corporation, Macau. Remember? That's why they gave you the burn order. And by the way, you're not a guardian anymore. He smiled. Nadira, you are mistaken. I was never reclassified, so I'm still a guardian. Now I want to clear my name, and I got all the blame for those fires, but Ron Duvall did those arsons and killings, not me. That's what you told me at the Carr's house the night we fought, Nadira said. Ah, yes, that night. Macau folded his hands in his lap. You misunderstood, but I suppose you can be forgiven, seeing how you're joined to that fragile Jonathan Keel. Though I can't see how it's possible for you two to be connected. Fragiles are not strong enough. She winced at a slur for humans who didn't have psi abilities. I didn't misunderstand you. No, I think you did. I think you wanted to get rid of me because of your feelings, he said. You felt guilty about what happened in the medevac, but you shouldn't. I know you enjoyed it. Nadira had to grip the edge of her chair to keep from jumping out of it. You attacked me while you had Talia try to kill Jonathan during her interrogation. The smile left his lips for a moment, then returned. That was Talia's idea. She was a protector assigned to the center. You know the protectors are the most powerful of the garden hierarchy. Except for you, of course. What power could I have over her? I don't know what you promised her, Nadira replied, but I know she didn't act on Dakar's orders. She acted on yours. All right, have it your way, he said. You're not here to talk about a little rendezvous with the medevac, or Talia, or Mr. Keel. You want to know about the ship I was apprehended in. Ask her questions. How'd you find it, she asked, struggling to keep her voice steady. Ah, yes. Your father, Stefan Marquez, was in that ship when he was reported missing 20 years ago. Macau glanced at one of the officers and flashed her a smile. I was sitting there in dry dock all this time. No one questioned it because there were so many ships coming and going from the colony. And you just happened to find it. I need a way off that rock. After being here on half, you can imagine what it's like to be stuck in a desolate, dead world. Refiltered air, purified water, taken from waste, replicated food, surrounded by criminals in various mental states, he said. In spite of the burn order, I could still think for myself, so they assigned me to work in the docking computer system. Can you believe it? They thought I was safe enough to have access to the records of ships coming and going. The repair checklists, authorization codes, fools. She had to admit it had been stupid for the colony management to give a prisoner that kind of access. But they'd never given the burn order to a psi person before. They had no idea where the result would be. It took a while, but I found a vulnerability in the system, he continued. I got the access codes and used them to break out. When I located the ship in dry dock, I couldn't believe it. It was in perfect shape and just waiting for me to power it up. Imagine my surprise when I saw the name of the pilot who'd flown it there. He wasn't lost, Nadira. Your father made it to the colony. How'd you know it was my father? You didn't know his name. But I did know it. Did you forget I shared Dakar's consciousness? I saw a lot of the Elder's secrets. Nadira stood up, trying to hide the fact she was trembling. I don't believe any of it. You did something to make it look like it was his ship. Sit down, Nadira. There's no time for pretending, he said. You know I'm not lying. Your father's ship arrived, which means either he purposely faked his own disappearance, or maybe someone on the colony killed him. It is filled with criminals, after all. She dropped back into her seat. No, that can't be true. It can't. It's a busy colony with hundreds of ships entering and leaving orbit. One small cruiser wouldn't stand out. All it would take would be to alter the records to erase proof of the ship's entry. One has friends on the inside, have access to the system. One may be able to do many things. You're saying he planned to leave the ship there and disappear? Nadira asked. Not exactly. Macau scooted to the edge of his chair so he could move closer to the glass. Remember I told you that the car had secrets? Consider this. Dakar knew about your father's mission. He arranged for someone to meet your father at the colony. Someone who would get your father out of the way permanently. Someone who had access to alter the records and possibly shove a body out of an airlock. No, Nadira yelled. Stop it. Cal shook his head. Dakar wanted to train you as a sentry. Your parents resisted, so once he removed Stefan, Minona was on her own. Do you know that he sent Xena after you and your mother? It wasn't Xena's idea. It was Dakar's. He and Azur planned it. Azur was Minona's mentor, remember? They set it up. Don't you see? You should be on my side, Nadira. Fighting with everything she had, she willed herself to keep her emotions in check. Nadira continued to meet Mikhail's gaze, but as she sat there, she realized she wasn't picking up energy from him. No probing or effort to read her. His energy had always been heavy and overbearing. Now there was nothing. Strange, she expected his abilities would come back once he returned to Hathor. You can't really believe Dakar would have my father killed. It's not true. But it could be, he said. Don't you think Dakar's father, Joachim, did worse things? Dakar was convinced they desperately needed a sentry, someone more powerful than all the others. You are that person. Unable to respond, she worked to process everything. He just said, it couldn't be true. Nadira, you know I'm right. They took you from your mother. Do you know what happened to her? Maybe she fought after they took you away and they killed her too. They deleted the records, didn't they? You've never found any information about your parents. That's why. Dakar ordered everything removed from the company databases. They want no records left of what they'd done. I won't believe him, Mikhail. But even as she said it, she knew that deep down those thoughts had occurred to her. You've never found a record of her being sent to detention or a penal colony, have you? Nothing. She simply disappeared like Stefan. Years ago when Joachim lived, people disappeared all the time. They disagreed with him, and suddenly they were gone. Never to be seen again. Joachim may have found her the Guardians, but he was a murderer, and so is his son. By now, Nadira was doubled over and able to contain her own emotions. They were like blows hitting her stomach and chest. Guardian sentry leader, one of the guards called out from behind the divider. Do you need assistance? No, I don't need assistance. When we were children, you told me how distraught your mother was when your father was lost. She left the city with you to try to escape the Guardians. You always blamed Xena for tracking you when all the time it was Dakar who sent her, Mikhail said. There was so much more I could share with you, Nadira. I think you should go back to your area, she said. She sat straight up in her chair. I'm done talking to you. The guard who spoke to Nadira dropped her hand on Mikhail's shoulder while the other guard grasped the stunner clipped to her utility belt. Mikhail stood up. Oh, I see our visit is over, Nadira. One more thing. There was an ID on the altered record. I looked it up. It belonged to a pilot named Kyle Songus. It's easy to hide alterations when you know how to do it, but it's hard not to leave a trail. Do you think he was a man who Dakar hired to get rid of your father? Dakar wouldn't do that. At the time, Elder Lang was contracted to Dakar's niece. Lang was a pilot for a brief time before Dakar forced him to resign and become a Guardian Elder. Lang would have had access to the pilot's database. He could have found a pilot with security clearance. One who go to the colony, find your father, and kill him. They've all lied to you, Nadira. Dakar, Azur, Lang, and all the other elders conspired to kill your parents so they could train you as a sentry. Mikhail nodded to the guard, gripping her stunner. She grasped his arm and led him back through the doorway, followed by another officer. The door closed, the lights on the other side of the divider dimmed. Nadira looked up and saw herself reflected in the glass, distorted and almost unrecognizable. Mikhail had warned her to be left this way, to leave her just as empty as he was. She hadn't been able to locate Elder Azur before, but she'd have to find her, ask her if the story was true or not. And if it was, she had no idea what she was going to do about it. In her training, she'd been instructed never to intentionally harm another person. Right now, though, she knew she couldn't trust herself to follow that directive. The way she felt right now, she wanted to hurt them all. So that's the end of that scene.
I'm sitting here thinking, come to the dark side, Nadira.
That's what he's working on.
Oh, man.
That's what he's working on. He's hoping.
Yeah, come to the dark side. We have cookies.
To convince her. And hopefully we'll have her presents.
Yeah, why is it? You ever know that? But because you had the guy saying, you know, he says you don't know what it's like being on this planet. You know, he's like, you know, there's no atmosphere. We have recycled water from the waste, and we have recycled air and other. It's like it's a prison, not a hotel.
You are not supposed to have 4-star accommodations.
He's a little spoiled.
Obviously. Oh, my gosh. But I was sitting there going, okay. Boy, this sounds familiar. We have a couple of questions here.
Sure.
HAS46, I don't know who you are because you didn't sign with your name, but says, what kind of shapeshifters do you write about? Hey. Yeah. Give us an idea about your shapeshifters real quick.
Well, I had just really tried it out because I hadn't ever written a paranormal before, but they're lions. Because I know that wolves are very popular, and it's probably a couple other things, but I've always really liked lions, and I saw a documentary on the Smithsonian about this pride, and I was like, well, that's pretty fascinating, you know, how they interact and the whole family unit. And I said, so then, of course, the wheel started turning.
You never know when you're going to get inspiration for a story. You don't know what's going to hit you. So,
exactly.
So the idea got to you first. I always tell people, I say, talk to a writer and ask him what came first. A picture that would give him inspiration, like for a cover, or a title, or the idea, or the plot.
Right.
So for you, it was the plot that came first.
Yeah, I just was like, okay, how am I going to do this? Because I said I really want to use lions, and then the story kind of, you know, first it was super serious, kind of maybe darker, but then I said, you know, I really want to do something lighter because I used to watch Bewitched back in the day, and I always thought that was kind of cute with So
Wiggle your nose?
Right. I didn't really want it to be like a dark paranormal. I wanted it to be a little more commonplace, if you know, as much as you can be. Mm-hmm. So he owns a coffee shop in California, and it's like a town of shifters. But, I mean, shifters are like all over, but people don't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's like with that, like witches were all over, but people didn't know. So he's an entrepreneur shifter.
Okay. I bet he serves a perfect cup of coffee, doesn't he? Oh, that was bad. That was bad. You can slap my hand for that one.
But at least you can roll your R's. I can't. So I admire that.
What is the name of this series for listeners listening out there?
It's Family Pride. There's Love and Challenges. And there's Blood Fever. And the third one that I'm supposed to be working on starting in a couple of weeks is Love and Legacy. And that one's about the younger brother. And he falls in love with a shifter, but I can't kind of say more without giving spoilers.
Yeah.
The other two are out there, now. So there's their adventures with him and kind of talking more about the line, you know, I focus on the line shifters, but there are other shifters in that universe, but
yeah.
I really, you know, I don't really go into
Okay.
Yeah.
So what you're currently working on, though, is sort of like book 3.5 of Hathor Legacy, right? Is that what you're working on right now?
Because I'm kind of late on working on the Family Pride third book, so I said, well, I have to. That's going to be shorter, and I said, well, I'll get that out of the way first, and then I'll start working on Family Pride. But this last, I mean, on Hathor, but this last Hathor book was like over 100,000 words, and it was...
Goodness.
Yeah, it was a challenge to get it edited, and yeah, so I said, I really don't want to write anything this long again. That's why I live.
Yeah, as some of us put it, that's not a book, that's a doorstop, right?
It feels like it when you pick it up, the print version. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, it just kept going because I was writing it on and off over a few months, and I've come back to it and go and come back, and then I wanted to answer all these different questions that people had, so then it just kept going. So it's kind of big.
Yeah.
But
that's
good,
because a lot of people like the great big books, you know.
I know, they do.
I like books, and I can't, okay. you know. Well, okay, we have another question here from Neve, wants to know, are any of your books in audio?
Yes, actually.
Yay!
The Hathor Legacy books are. I have
all
to put
three?
The family. They will be. The third one, the voice artist is going to start in October.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how long she'll take with this since this is humongous, but we'll see. But, yes, the first two are available on Audible and I believe iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
And the short story one, the Futuristic Tales, that's also in audiobook. And
mm-hmm.
one of my nonfiction books is also. But, you know, if they look
what
like under my name,
what kind of nonfiction
they would be
did you write?
Well, I started out writing. I wrote this nonfiction book called Think Like an Entrepreneur. And I did two of them, actually. But one of them was just kind of was supposed to be like for like employees who want to kind of find a way that they could kind of think about their careers. And
mm-hmm.
It was motivational and how to, you know, keep your head straight when you may be in a bad workplace situations and things like that. Because I was just like coming out of corporate, and I kind of
mm-hmm.
put everything in there that I'd experienced and how you could really, you know, kind of stay focused and really get yourself together. If
how to survive
things.
In the corporate world or in the
yeah.
business world.
Yeah, really, you know.
Yeah.
And it was interesting because it came out like around the time that the financial stuff had been going on. So I think a lot of people responded to that because they were really looking at other options. So that was the first one I did. But I hadn't expected to write a nonfiction book first, but it just turned out that that's what happened. And then I kind of went on to fiction, you know, finally to do a novel because I used to do short stories for years. I hadn't written a novel until
mm-hmm.
Half Their Legacy, Outcast was the first
mm-hmm.
one I wrote.
And now you're writing Doorstops.
I'm not sure how that happened because I'm shocked myself.
Well, yeah, it's kind of funny though because I from listening to you and all, I bet you though people who read your book, it may be that long, but it doesn't feel that long because the story just flows and keeps your interest. And when you've got that, you know, 100, you know, 1,000 words plus, probably feel like half that size because it's a quick read.
Yeah, that's what a couple of people tell me, which I was glad to hear. So.
Yay! Good. That's good.
Yeah, I try to, you know, kind of do the chapters so that there's always, like, something, like, hanging there so it pulls you to the next one. So I really don't like to have, like, a lot of extra words that you don't need in there and bore people to death. I like to keep things moving.
Oh, okay, well, you've dipped your toes into sci-fi and you've dipped your toes into nonfiction and paranormal. Is
mm-hmm.
there a genre that you are maybe bouncing around in the back of your mind, a different genre that you'd like to touch?
Well, I have a romantic suspense in mind. So that's in the back of my mind. But I haven't started it, but because I kind of,
mm-hmm.
Kind of like the kind of fantasy science fiction because you can always create so
yeah.
many different things. But, yeah, that's in the back of my mind. I'm not sure if I'm
yeah.
going to do it.
You're waiting for the story to gel for you.
Yes, but I'm thinking about writing some kind of romantic,
mm-hmm.
Erotica thingies, much shorter.
Goodness. Well, Deborah, I have loved having you back on the show, and I'm so glad we were able to get through it tonight. Yay!
Yes,
and
I'm
all.
So excited.
The book is Hathor Legacy, Revelations, and that's book three. Also, check out Outcast and Burn. And check out all her other books. Tell us where we can find you real quick on Facebook and Twitter and all.
Well, Twitter, I'm author Deborah B. And also my website, bracefreebooks.com. You can find links to where my books are sold on Amazon, also some other book sellers. Depends on the book, but some are available just on Amazon. Some are all over the place. But Twitter is a good place to reach me, or just come to my website, and I have like an email there that you can contact me if you have any questions. And
what about Facebook?
I don't have a author page on there yet because it's like there's too many things to manage. But I just have like a personal account on there. It's
okay.
Facebook.com, Coach Deb. Yeah,
oh.
There's so many things to juggle with social media right now. So,
yeah.
Keeping it simple.
Well, thank you again, and I'd love to have you back. You know that. It's so much fun to have you on the show. My name is Linda Mooney. This is Other Worlds of Romance. Thanks for listening in. Thank you, readers and listeners, for your email questions and all. We appreciate you very much. Have a great rest of the week, and we'll see you again. You take care, and good night, everybody. Bye-bye. All right. Hey. Deb.